Hello, everyone. Welcome to Lab Medicine's podcast series. My name is Kelly Swales, and I'm the web editor for Lab Medicine. Today, we have joining us Petra Rahman. Recently, she wrote about a case of a pregnant woman with malaria that appeared on Lab Medicine's companion blog, Loblogatory.
Hi, my name is Petra Rahman. I completed my anatomic and clinical pathology residency at University of Texas Southwestern here in Dallas. And I'll be talking to you today about malaria and placental malaria. Malaria is caused by blood parasites of the Plasmodium species, which are transmitted by female Anopheles mosquitoes, and those are found in the tropics and subtropics worldwide, with the highest transmission rates in sub-Saharan Africa and also parts of Oceania. Sporozoites are injected into the bloodstream during a blood meal and travel to the liver to proliferate during the exoerythrocytic cycle. There, schizons mature in the hepatocytes and then rupture, releasing neurozoites into the blood. Plasmodium ovale and vivax have a dormant liver stage, and those are called hypnozoites. The erythrocytic cycle begins when neurozoites infect red blood cells, and then undergo asexual multiplication. This is also known as erythrocyte schizogony. These produce ringworms or trophozoites that mature into schizons, and those eventually rupture and release more neurozoites into the blood. Some trophozoites mature into gametocytes that undergo sexual or sporogonic life cycles within the mosquito vector after being consumed by a female Anopheles mosquito. Gametocytes can be found in the peripheral blood in late infection. Stages other than trophozoites and gametocytes are rarely found in the peripheral blood during Plasmodium falciparum infection due to sequestration in the capillaries and venules of the solid organs. The diagnosis of malaria is typically made by morphologic examination of 2 to 3 thick and thin smears collected over a 24-hour period. Exclusion of malaria can only be made after examination of at least 100 oil immersion fields on thick smears or 300 fields on thin smears, and this will achieve a sensitivity of 5 parasites per microliter. Cytometric, rapid diagnostic antigen, serologic, and molecular methods have also been developed. However, they are not widely available, particularly in endemic areas. The degree of parasitemia, or the percent of infected red blood cells, is an important prognostic factor in Plasmodium falciparum infection, with greater than 2% parasitemia considered severe disease. Clinical symptoms are associated with asexual erythrocytic schizogony and include paroxysmal malaria attacks consisting of a cold stage in which the patient would shiver, a hot stage including fevers, headaches, vomiting, and sometimes seizures in children. And finally, a sweating stage, which is followed by malaise and body aches. These attacks are classically cyclical and occur approximately every 48 hours in Plasmodium falciparum, vivax, and ovale infection. This is also known as tertian fever. These fevers occur approximately every 72 hours with Plasmodium malariae, known as Quartin fever. Severe malaria and mortality is associated with complications such as cerebral malaria, severe hemolytic anemia, adult respiratory distress syndrome, coagulopathy, and organ failure. Pregnant women and children are particularly susceptible to malarial infection due to altered and reduced immunity, respectively. Pregnant women are 3 times more likely to suffer from severe malaria versus non-pregnant women and have a mortality rate of almost 50% from severe malarial infection. Pregnancy can also reduce previously acquired partial anti-malarial immunity that often occurs in adults living in areas of stable transmission who are infected multiple times. The placenta sequesters parasites contributing to severe maternal anemia, intrauterine growth retardation, intrauterine fetal demise, premature delivery, and neonatal death. The severity of complications of malaria during pregnancy increases in women infected with HIV and prima gravidas. However, increased severity can extend to second and third gravida in low transmission areas. In endemic areas where women have acquired anti-malarial immunity, severe maternal anemia may be the only symptom during pregnancy. In some cases, parasitemia may not be detected despite placental infection. This phenomenon can cause false negatives on peripheral smear examination during the workup for malarial infection. Placental malaria is definitively diagnosed by histologic examination of formalin-fixed paraffin-embedded placental tissue. Key histologic features of placental malaria include perivillous fibrin deposits, intervillous macrophages, fibrinoid necrosis of chorionic villi, cytotrophoblast proliferation, thickening of trophoblastic basement membranes, and malaria pigment, which is also known as hemozoan. Hemozoan can be intracellular, for example, found within intervillous macrophages or trophoblasts, or it can be extracellular, entrapped in perivillous fibrin deposits. Interestingly, infected red blood cells can often be identified on histologic sections by observing the distinct cytoplasmic trophozoid or ring form, which sometimes appear as black refractile dots. Several classification systems have been proposed and generally categorize placental malaria infection as active, active chronic, or past chronic based on the degree of histologic changes. The WHO previously recommended quinine and clindamycin for the treatment of uncomplicated malaria in pregnancy. However, quinine-based therapy poses a risk of hypoglycemia in addition to promoting drug-resistant Plasmodium falciparum. Recent studies currently support the use of artemisinin-based combination therapy for severe malaria in pregnancy. IV quinine or artesunate can be used. However, quinine should be avoided in the second and third trimester due to the risk of hypoglycemia. Although placental malaria is a prerequisite for congenital malaria, the frequency of vertical transmission is relatively low, with ranges reported from as low as 0% up to 25% in endemic areas. Lower transmission risk has been attributed to passive immunization of the fetus by maternal antibodies, and conversely, higher transmission risk is associated with non-immunity of mothers.